Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Today I want to talk to you about the peace account. Psalm 119:165 states, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Now that word "great" is a powerful word because it means abundance. So when you think about the peace of God in this particular context, there's no shortage of serenity. There is no scarcity of calmness. It's abundant peace. In fact, that word goes on to talk about how it can be used in terms of rank or quality or quantity. So you have a higher quality of peace. You have a higher quantity of peace. Hence the word abundance or great. You have a higher rank of peace. So it's at a different level. And that's what we have when we have obedience to the word of God. And so when you think about all the chaos going on in the world, when you think about Hamas that has attacked Israel, when you think about the tension in that part of the world, and really that's causing tension around the globe because of all the military powers and the posturing and the gesturing and the threats that are being made from Russia and Iran, it certainly is an hour that seems to be more about panic than peace. Things that go on domestically, things that are going on internationally, things that are going on religiously, things that are going on politically, things that are going on economically, all of these things can have threads of trepidation to them that weave nothing but constant negative stories and pessimistic outlooks on life. And yet, for the child of God that trusts the word of the Lord, that lives in obedience to the word of God, he's going to find great peace. And the thing that I find interesting is in Psalm 119:164, the preceding verse, the psalmist said, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." And then in the following verse of the peace verse in 165, in Psalm 119:166, the psalmist said, "Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments." So in this whole sense of peace, it's preceded by this idea of praise, and it's also followed up by this continuing to live by principle. When you sandwich peace between praise to God and principles that you live by, then again, you have an understanding of what it means to be rooted in the truth and to stay close to God, because the kingdom of God is coming to the earth, my friend. So this is my thought for understanding this principle or this idea of the peace account, is that when you have great peace with the Lord because of the commandments you live by, because of the principles of truth that you practice on a daily basis, because of your hunger for holiness and your thirst for truth and your desire to be closer to God each and every day, then this is an account that can't be spent. It will never be exhausted, because the everlasting peace of God is just that. It's a resource, keeps a sense of peacefulness, that keeps a sense of contentment in all of the conflicts of life. So John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." It's almost as if he's saying, "Here, I'm going to leave this with you. Something that will get you by when the darkness is heavy, when the violence is intense, when the adversary looks to have the upper hand, when the world around you is crumbling and you wonder if the foundation you're standing on will survive, when vortexes of deception are dangerously roaring through families, when storm clouds of demonic agendas seem to fill the heavens and everything appears to be the reign of terror. This will get you through. Peace which also means quietness. My friend, there is calm in the chaos, serenity in the storm, sweet lullabies in the thrashing of a tempest, a hushed comfort when the thunder booms, a gentle melody beyond the noise of destruction. It is peace, and God has plenty of it. It's an account that can't be bankrupted. It is available in the most excruciating times and when you have received the worst kind of news. And it's not a worldly peace. It's not a peace that comes and goes. It's not a peace treaty that eventually gets broken because it's signed with false intent. It's not a money-back guarantee given by a slick salesman who doesn't intend on keeping his end of the bargain. It's a lasting peace. It's an enduring covenant, something that age can't wrinkle and death can't erase. Thieves can't confiscate. Darkness can't dim. Humanistic ideas can't produce. New philosophies can't fade. It's a lasting peace. Time can't spend it. Seasons can't wither it. Rust can't touch it. Lies can't reinterpret it. Hopelessness can't redefine it. It's a lasting peace. When panic has bled its last terror, and fear has intimidated its last soul, and when anxiety has tormented its last emotion, when dread has painted its last twilight, and fright has produced its last haunting, when sadness has squeezed out its last tear, and sorrow has written its last mournful note, the peace account will still be full, because it's a lasting peace. It's an eternal assurance. It's a hope beyond hype. Corinthians 14 and 33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." So just in case you're wondering about all the confusion in our world, God's not the author of it. Confusion, my friend, is the penmanship of hell. Disorder is the devil's script. Instability is a part of the enemy's ammunition to get you distracted by temptation, to get you to stop thinking about the things of God, to get you to stop walking the course of conviction that will take you to the destination New Jerusalem, to get you imbalanced with fear and anxiety, to think that there is nothing that you can truly control in this life, and so you just run around in circles of madness and depression. It's there to get you off track so you don't finish your race or finish the course that God has laid out for you. And so you get disoriented on the journey. The night seems darker than ever, and good news is just fading light and dim lanterns. And you hear the noise. What was that? Who's out there? What's trying to get me? What shame from the past is going to ravage my faith? What failures of yesterday are going to devour me before I get to my destination? And the confusion is strong, and the instability can have you in a place of wandering. Or at least it seems that way until you tap into that peace account, until you make a withdrawal on that supernatural serenity, until you realize, you know, all of these things that the enemy's trying to do to confuse me, I'm going to have God empower me with peace, because that's part of the original giftings of the Holy Ghost. Romans 14, 17 said, "For the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost." Romans 8 and 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You see, you can carry around the dead carcass of sin, which is the vivid picture of what Paul was describing here. Live with the stench of decomposing bitterness. Stagger beneath every growing weight of regret of what could have been, what should have been, what paths you should have walked and doors you should have walked through and the ones you should have closed. You see, because regret is a pale cadaver, a dead reason, a rotting corpse of all the maybes and the mights. Didn't get it done, remorse. And it's carnal. It's a dead body. It's a peace-killing, dead man walking. And you don't have to strap that old man on your back. It's a grave mistake. So leave the cemetery of fresh dug holes. Move past the piles of dirt. Exit the gates of Hades and live in the spirit. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Psalm 34 and 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You see, peace will lead you out of the haunted house of sin ghosts and failure goblins and depression demons. Peace will pull the mask off, reveal the lies beneath the monsters of accusation and self-condemnation. It will replace the darkness with light, the dread with delight, the terror with tranquility. So don't settle for what the devil gives. Don't settle for the devil's intimidation. Don't settle for the devil's scare tactics, but live in what God gives. Psalm 29 and 11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Because when you leave the old places of carnality behind you, and you get tired of being led around by the tourists of terror and the demon guides of resentment, you will say with the psalmist, let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Psalm 35 and 19 through 20. You will see the enemy for what he is, and for what he says, and for what he tries to impart to your mind, stick to your heart, and label you forever as a reject. But the peace of God will bring confidence. It'll give you favor in the battle, and you'll say, again with the psalmist, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. Psalm 55 and 18. Oh, my friend, you are not alone, but you are loved. You are not alone, but you are led by the Spirit. You are not alone, but you live in the realm of peace. And when you live in that realm of peace, you realize you're in a better company. It is then that you recognize angelic intervention, that you're not alone. You are not singled out on the battlefield, easily picked off by the searing bullets of a devilish sniper. No, you stand among many angels, prayer warriors, intercessors, the righteous, the congregation, not the lone ranger. You have brothers and sisters, preachers and praisers, worshipers and warriors, and they're with you. They fight with you. They stand with you. And as the psalmist says, for there were many with me. Now think about that. Anywhere you go, if you find yourself in a wilderness of entrapment, the Bible said the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear his name. You've got an angelic host with you. Even though at the particular time there may be human invisibility, there might not be any of your brothers or sisters around at the particular moment, but that even at that, it doesn't mean that they're not praying for you somewhere. It doesn't mean that God has not stirred up an intercessor halfway across the globe to help you in your time of trouble and to stand with you. And that's the enemy's tactic, isn't it? To make us feel like we're isolated, to make us feel like nobody loves us, we're overlooked, we're neglected, we're full of shame, nobody could love us, nobody would want to be around us. And those feelings sometimes get magnified in times of conflict. Maybe you've had a conflict with a brother or a sister in the church, and all of a sudden you get to thinking, well, that's just the way everybody feels about me. But my friend, that is just the deceptiveness of the enemy. It's the intimidation of these kinds of divisive spirits that want to tear apart, that want to tear down, that want to break us apart from our unity. But yet, one of the encouraging things here from David, when he's even on the run for his life, when he's in exile from those that are trying to hunt him down and kill him, he still says, there are many with me, because God gave him friends that he didn't even expect to be his friends. Could it be that God will do that for you? Oh, my friend, you're not alone when you have the peace of God, because you also have the company that comes with that peace. But maybe you feel that the things you're facing are too enormous. Huge debt, big problems, growing pain, rising inflation, mountainous obligations. You can't find the summit of success because the climb is too difficult. The days of work are too long. The taxing on your health is evident. Peaks on your heart rate indicate trouble. The blood pressure has gone to Mount Everest and back as you listen to the news and world chaos and the buildup of tribulation. Gas is high. The rent is high. The laundry pile is high. The groceries are too high. But rest assured in the Word of God, Psalm 72:3, the mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. This means, my friend, that what looks to be too enormous has peace in it. That thing that looks like it might kill you really could empower you. That impossible task ahead that seems too high is a peak to be taken because peace is there. Calmness comes. Serenity leads. And what seems to be the thing that will only cause persecution brings prosperity. The big things and the little things will work for you. The major problems and the small irritations will work for you. Because there's peace in the mountains and righteousness in the little hills. Psalm 103:11 says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." Oh, I love the difference in Earth's atmosphere. The troposphere, which is closest to the earth, goes to about 40,000 feet. Higher in the summer and lower in the winter. And in this layer, the temperature decreases with increasing height at an average of about 3.5 degrees per 1,000 feet of altitude. Since the air cools with altitude, warm, buoyant air in a thunderstorm can continue to accelerate upward. So when you see those intimidating, gargantuan thunderheads flatten out into what is known as the anvil-shaped cloud, it is because the storm can't go into the stratosphere, which starts at that 40,000-foot atmospheric boundary. The warm air of the thunderhead is now reaching a warming environment and can't go much further. Therefore, it flattens out. My friend, I believe the heavens obviously go much higher as there are several more atmospheres to consider, such as the mesosphere, which is above the stratosphere and is roughly 22 miles thick. But for the sake of God's amazing power and ensuing peace, let's just talk about the storm clouds between the troposphere and the stratosphere. Because, my friend, it's his peace that goes beyond the angry tempest of your failures. It's his peace that extends into a warmer environment of hope where the horrors of your past leave off. His peace reaches into a higher atmosphere of grace where the condemnation of yesterday's incriminating acts are stopped. That storm of your past can't go any further. The rising thunderheads of guilt and disgrace can't go into the atmosphere of forgiveness and love. It is truly immeasurable mercy. It takes a further distance to pass God's forgiveness than it does to get past your mistakes. That's why Paul said, "Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound." Because the grace and the peace of God is in a different atmosphere. Forgiveness is in a higher environment. But often, it takes so much of our spiritual energy just to get out of the atmosphere of our past, in the same way that it took the original Apollo mission more fuel to get off that ground and go through that first mile of the journey than it did the rest of the trip to the moon. And so, my friend, I'm telling you, you go past the clouds into clemency, beyond the curtain of a dark tempest into compassion. We all need to know the beauty of sunshine above the clouds of shame. We all need to know the freedom from fear that is gained when you know that you're in a place that you can no longer be threatened by harm. You see, the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. There is no greater security than the presence of the Lord, because the presence of the Lord repels deception and the accusing lies of darkness. The presence of the Lord invites the broken heart into the serene confines of hope. It's the presence of the Lord that invokes a confidence that everything is going to be all right. And that's why we trust when the Word of God says in the book of Philippians, there is a peace that passes all understanding. There are times that we're going to get confused and we feel that we've lost our comprehension. Therefore, we've lost our compass. We can't find our way out of a particular matter or a conflict or a relationship struggle or an economic distress. And so here we are trapped in this conflict. We don't know what to do. And yet here comes the peace of God. Here comes a word of wisdom. Here comes a word of knowledge, or here comes the reminder of a verse that you've highlighted and memorized, and it speaks to you again in your spirit, and there is that peace that passes understanding. You don't necessarily know how you're going to get out of the circumstance. You don't necessarily know how you're going to pay that next bill. You don't necessarily know how you're going to be able to take two or three more medications on top of already the many that you're taking. But there is a peace that comes to you. There's a calmness in that chaos. There is a serenity in that storm. And so that peace begins to propel you. That peace begins to give you a confidence that doesn't need an explanation. It doesn't need a reason. It doesn't need the blank even to be filled in, because you trust the Word of God. And you know that at the end of the day, at the end of the trial, when you get out of the furnace of that circumstance, that your testimony is going to be stronger, that your faith is going to be increased, that your hope is going to be justified, and that your praise is going to be greater towards God than it ever has been before. My friend, when I think about kingdoms of this world, we know that they have an expiration date. So any peace treaty they sign, any promises of peace that they make, are temporary at best. But Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Think about it, friend. There's an expiration date on the Antichrist and his kingdom to come, but not on the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not just his government. It's not just his rules and regulations or the borders and boundaries of prosperity and order that he'll bring to the world. But it's peace. It's the true serenity. It's the true calmness. It's the true quietness of the soul, the whispers of the wind and the breezes that will blow gently upon the placid seas of time, because he will sit upon that throne of David in Jerusalem and rule for 1,000 years, a millennial reign. It's not a fairy tale. It's a biblical fact, and it's a futuristic thing that's going to take place, and you can be a part of that. As a child of God, you are a part of that. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. And think about how he says the zeal of the Lord. I mean, it's almost as if to say the Lord is very excited about this moment to come, because Israel will be full of gladness. All of the gloom, all of the smoke of terror, all of the fires burning in destruction, all of the carnage that has been left behind because of the war ravaging ways of Gog and Magog and the Antichrist conflicts and all of the judgments that will pour out upon this planet. But when the seals are over, when the trumpets are done, and when the bowls have been poured out, and when the sun has been darkened and the moon turned to blood, and all of these things have extinguished, the peace of God will still be increasing. It's not even just going to maintain a certain level. The Bible said the increase. That means it's going to continue to grow. Can you imagine the perfect peace of God growing even more? The abundant peace of God revealing even more? These things that God wants to give to us in quality and quantity. cannot be compared to anything in the world. And so my hope today, friend, is that you discover the peace of God. You discover the joy of the Lord that is full of salvation and hope, and that you can draw with joy from the wells of salvation in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to The Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to The Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about The Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.